Now this is what you shall do to them, that is to the priests, the sons of Aaron and Aaron himself, to consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. Take one bull of the herd and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers smeared with oil. You shall make them of fine wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket and bring the bull and the two rams. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments and put on Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put coats on them, and you shall gird Aaron and his sons with sashes and bind caps on them, and the priesthood shall be theirs by a statute forever. Thus you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull. And you shall kill the bull before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and shall take part of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger. And the rest of the blood you shall pour out at the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull with its skin and its dung you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. And you shall take one of the rams, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall kill the ram and shall take its blood and throw it against the sides of the altar. Then you shall cut the ram into pieces and wash its entrails and its legs and put them with its pieces and its head and burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. You shall take the other ram, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall kill the ram and take part of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tips of the right ears of his sons and on the lamp and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the great toes of their right feet, and throw the rest of the blood against the sides of the altar. And you shall take part of the blood that is on the altar and the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and his sons' garments with him. He and his garments shall be holy, and his sons' garments with him. You shall also take the fat from the ram and the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them and the right thigh, for it is the ram of ordination, and one loaf of bread, and one cake of bread made with oil, and one wafer out of the basket of unleavened bread that is before them. You shall put all these on the palms of Aaron and on the palms of his sons, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Then you shall take them from their hands and burn them on the altar on top of the burnt offering as a pleasing aroma before the Lord. It is a food offering to the Lord. You shall take the breast of a ram of Aaron's ordination and wave it for a wave offering to the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering that is waved and the thigh of the priest's portion that is contributed before from the ram of ordination from what was Aaron's and his sons. It shall be for Aaron and his sons as a perpetual due from the people of Israel, for it is a contribution. It shall be a contribution from the people of Israel from their peace offerings, their contribution to the Lord. The holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him, and they shall be anointed in them and ordained in them. The son who succeeds him as priest, who comes into the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place, shall wear them 7 days. You shall take the ram of ordination and boil its flesh in a holy place, and Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket in the entrance of the tent of meeting. Then they shall eat those things which the atonement was made at their ordination and consecration, but an outsider shall not eat of them, because they are holy. And if any of the flesh for the ordination of the bread remain until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and to his sons, according to all that I have commanded you. Through 7 days shall you ordain them, and every day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement. Also you shall purify the altar, and you shall make atonement for it, and shall anoint it to consecrate it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and consecrate it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar shall become holy. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar: 2 lambs a year old, day by day, regularly. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And with the first lamb, a tenth measure of fine flour mingled with a fourth of a hin of beaten oil and a fourth of a hin of wine for a drink offering. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer with it a grain offering and its drink offering as in the morning, for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Here we end the reading of God's word. In this passage, it speaks very much about the ordination process of Aaron and his sons. But I want you to note that that all comes within the context of what is said at the end of this passage, in the language of the covenant, where God says, I will come to speak with you there. This is the process through which God is coming to dwell with his people. And in this holy place, the temple or the tabernacle, God will dwell with his people. And chapter 29 follows a logical consequence. It follows the previous chapters in which God is setting up for Israel all of the things that will be necessary for God to come to dwell in the midst of his people. And in this chapter, we find Aaron and his sons are introduced into the priesthood. And this whole passage is about the ordination process, how they are ordained into the priestly status to work as those who are standing with God and before God on behalf of the people of God. This ordination process is an extraordinary thing. I think of it in terms of ordination to the ministry, and quite thankful that we don't have the similar things that went on in terms of their ordination process, especially all the fat offerings and the kidneys and everything else. We didn't have that in our ordination process. The process for ordination for the ministry of the word, it's a long process, and it doesn't have any of the burnt offerings and other offerings that we find in this particular passage, but it sure involves a lot of time. It requires you, first of all, to have a college education, and then following your college education, you have to go on to seminary. And in seminary, you're introduced to things that are kind of really extraordinarily different. We call that Hebrew and Greek. And you learn a lot about Hebrew and Greek, and you begin to read the scripture in the original languages, Hebrew and Greek, and you begin to study the Word of God, and you then turn to systematic theology in seminary. And you go through this entire process, and when that great day comes, when they pray that, when they play that beautiful music where you walk down the aisle and you get your diploma and you smile and they take a picture of you and you can say it's all done, then you have to go in front of the presbytery. And that's a part of the process of ordination. Some churches are different. In some churches, the presbytery requires you to go through more tests. You think you've had enough tests when you've been to seminary, they put you through more tests. You have to be tested in your theology. You have to be tested in your practical theology. What will you say? What will you do if so-and-so comes to you? And how will you apply the Word of God? Ordination is a long, long process. But I want you to see in this passage the ordination that takes place of Aaron and his sons. It's this entire passage. It includes the previous passages as well, where they are prepared, and we've seen the preparation in terms of the ephod, the breastplate, and the clothing, all of that. Some of that is described in this chapter, where it says they are to be given the clothing, and they are to be set aside, but most of all, the focus in this passage is upon their ordination. We see Aaron and his sons ordained, and they are ordained into the high priestly ministry. And in this high priestly ministry, they are to enter into the presence of God. And so all of these offerings are here, all of these rituals are here, everything is done, the blood is sprinkled everywhere, that's repeated over and over. And the thought of all of that is that they would be made by the sprinkling of blood completely holy, consecrated, ordained as priests of God. It would otherwise be very boring. You know, we would be reading through this and we would see the repetitiveness of it. We would see the many different offerings of it. But they're all important in this process towards which they are ordained, set aside as priests of God. And the importance of that is that, of course, they predict by their own high priestly ministry the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, as we read chapter 29, we continue to see Jesus portrayed because he achieved himself the perfect consecration of God that's depicted in these verses. He is the perfect reality in the sin offering, in the burnt offering, in the wave offering. And the main subject of this chapter is how sinful, ordinary people might come into the presence of God. In this case, it's Aaron and his sons. They're sinners, not Jesus. But Aaron and his sons are sinners, and so they have to go through this ministry of being prepared for the priesthood. And as they are prepared for their priesthood through these offerings, they are made holy by them. That's why the blood is applied, you know, to all of these things. And, you know, we didn't have that when we were ordained. I didn't get a, you know, a bunch of blood put on my right earlobe and my right toe. And, you know, all of those. What are all of those things? Are all picturing the holiness of God through the shed blood for sinners. And that's what Aaron was. He was a sinner, but he was a consecrated sinner, consecrated to the priesthood of God, so that he might be able to enter the presence of God. And that's what the latter part of the chapter says. God says, I will meet you there in the tabernacle. He would speak to Aaron and to the people of God, and he would come to them through the high priestly ministry of Aaron and his sons. And so Exodus chapter 29 is all about individual sinners who need to be forgiven, who need to have the presence of God and the Word of God. And in this chapter, we see these individuals, Aaron and his sons, ordained so that they might dedicate themselves with gratitude to God into the service of God and rejoice in fellowshipping with God and with each other, so that they might be prepared to hear and to receive the Word of God. And remember, in this passage, they were washed with water. They were robed in the righteousness of God. They were anointed with oil, and they were sprinkled with a lot of blood. I have often thought there was an awful lot of blood that was shed in the Old Testament. Even in this chapter, in the morning and in the evening, a lamb, its blood was shed. And the people would bring sacrifices constantly into the tabernacle of God. It would always underscore and signify the necessity of shed blood. And through it, they were purified, through it sanctified, through it anointed, justified, consecrated for the holy service of God. And this ceremony that is in this chapter is a ceremony that focuses upon their ordination through the shed blood. The writer of Hebrews picks up on this whole business of the shed blood, and he picks up on it in chapter 8, 9, and 10, in fact, all throughout Hebrews. But there's a passage in the book of Hebrews that speaks of the shed blood of the animals. And in this passage, there is the shed blood of the three animals: the bull of the sin offering, the ram of the burnt offering, the ram of ordination. But notice, all of these animals were animals with no defect. In the original language, it meant that they were complete, they were sound, they were unimpaired, they were healthful. That is, they were unblemished, whole animals worthy of being sacrificed to God. And that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfect sacrifice to God. This passage speaks of all the things that pertain ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself was prepared for the high priest ministry. He himself was the great high priest, as well as the great sacrifice for our sins. And these priests are brought into the doorway of the tent, and they themselves are prepared. They receive a washing. They are washed to symbolize their purification to the office, so that they may safely enter into the realm of the sacred presence of God. They had to withstand the next part of the ritual, which was pouring oil upon the head of Aaron, a solemn rite in which he is set apart to his office, just as kings and priests were set apart by the anointing of oil. And all of these things occur so that he might be presented as holy before the Lord. And then Aaron is to place his hand upon this ram's head. This is one of the pictures in the Old Testament of what happens with us and our sin. Aaron takes his hands and places it upon the ram's head. We see that in verses 15 to 18. This was the offering for sin. And as he places his hands upon the ram's head, what is that symbolizing? It is symbolizing the transference of impurity to the ram as a sign of identification. The ram is then sacrificed for atonement and purification. Its blood is to be scattered around the altar, all about. And the blood of the bull had been taken and put on the horns and on the base of the altar, and the entire structure was to be sprinkled with blood. That's a picture of us transferring our sin to our sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul picks up on this whole process and upon what it means for the transference of sin from us to Christ. And then he says in Hebrews, in Romans chapter 12, that we are to dedicate our lives to God as a result of what God has done for us in the transference of our sin to Jesus Christ. Here is what he says: I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The Greek term that he uses there for sacrifice is the same word in the Old Testament Septuagint language for the part of the description of the burnt offering here in chapter 29, the offering of fire, a sacrifice for sin. What Paul employs in this word is clear. The Christian life is to be consumed by service to God, a burnt offering. We are to dedicate ourselves completely to God in whatever we do. We see that picture here in the 29th chapter of Exodus. And then we see also the second ram in chapter 29, beginning at verse 19, the sprinkling of the blood and the anointing oil of Aaron and his sons on their clothes is a sign of their consecration to the priesthood. Blood covers all aspects of the scene. The horns, the sides, the base of the altar, all of these things are mentioned. The priests' right earlobes, thumbs, big toes, all of them will be anointed with the blood of sacrifice from this lamb, signifying that they are purified. They are set apart for service unto God. Isn't that what ordination is? Set apart for service unto God. The writer of the Hebrews gets right to the heart of the issue. He says in chapter 9, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without shed blood, humans are like Lady Macbeth from Shakespeare. She cried out, "Yet here a spot." Then she said something which I won't repeat. And then she says, "Will these hands never be clean?" There needed to be cleansing, and she didn't have it. But in his mercy, God in his grace sent his son, Jesus Christ, to shed his blood for his people. And the writer says, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" See, the writer of Hebrews, he got the Old Testament. He saw in the Old Testament the blood that was shed was that which spoke of the blood of the Lamb of God. But we no longer need that bloody priesthood and the bloody sacrifices of the temple. For Christ has come once and for all to shed his blood for our eternal sanctification and eternal purification and eternal atonement. The blood that was shed in the Old Testament looked forward to the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So year after year, they would repeat this ritual, the ministry of Aaron and his successors, his sons and their successors, and it would go on and on and on. But that purpose of that ministry, even as a mundane routine ministry, was to realize the presence of the living God among the people, to hear the word of God and receive the word of God, because God was calling them to what? To live in his presence, to hear his word. What a blessing it was for the people of God to have the high priestly ministry that proclaimed the presence of the living God. One man who needed to hear that forgiveness through the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ was a great preacher by the name of Charles Simeon. He was the preacher of Holy Trinity Church in Cambridge, England. When Simeon began university, he was not yet a Christian, and that explains why he was so alarmed when he received, shortly after his arrival, a notice from the head of the college requiring him to take Holy Communion in 3 weeks' time. Simeon panicked. The thought rushed into my head, he later wrote, that Satan himself was as fit to attend there as I. Think about that. Satan himself was as fit to attend communion as I. And that if I must attend, I must prepare for my attendance. Desperate for help, Simeon bought a Christian book entitled The Whole Duty of Man, and he began to read it and cry out to God for mercy. And eventually, Simeon began to feel the glimmerings of hope. In his own words, he wrote this: "It was an indistinct kind of hope founded on God's mercy to real penitence. But in Passion Week, as I was reading Bishop Wilson on the Lord's Supper, I met with an expression to this effect." And listen to what he said. It's from our text. "The Jews knew what they did when they transferred their sin to the head of their offering. The thought rushed through my mind, what? May I transfer all my guilt to another? Has God provided an offering for me that I may lay my hands on his head? Then, God willing, I will not bear them on my soul one moment longer. Accordingly, I sought to lay my sins on the sacred head of Jesus. And on the Wednesday, began to have hope of mercy. On Thursday, that hope increased. On Friday and Saturday, it became more strong. And on Sunday morning, Easter day, I awoke with those words upon my lips, Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. From that time, peace flowed with rich abundance to my soul. I had sweet access to God through my blessed Savior." That's what the high priestly ministry of Christ is all about. We have access to God through the Savior. The mercy that Charles Simeon received, forgiveness, peace, joy, and access to God come to everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ for salvation. Amen.